Well, hey, again, really good to be with you this morning. I feel blessed this summer. I think it's my third chance to preach here. And as always, and I always mean to say this, I really want to thank Jeff for inviting me to be here. A couple of quick thoughts as we start. We've got the asymmetrical thing going here. And so I don't want that side over there to feel ignored. If you feel like, hey, why is he just looking this way? I give you permission to clear your throat, or Nancy will elect you to like wave or something. But I want to be inclusive, but I am working with a kind of an eccentric setup here. But I'm sure it'll be great. Is eccentric the wrong word? Maybe. The other thing on our theme this morning, this Godspeed program with, there's a booklet, there are videos, and we've heard today already that a group meets, before worship, which is all fabulous. But as a preacher, when I preach as part of a series, especially if there's like homework involved in that series, I really want to like gear my thoughts to the first-time visitor, the person who's been on vacation a lot this summer. So we are in the Godspeed series this summer, booklet, video. But if you've been away or you're brand new this morning, it's my hope that you'll feel very much like, this message is for you. As Jeff has mentioned, the topic, the theme today is pace, as in pace of life, work, family, friends, avocation. In other words, all that we do and the rate at which we do it. Got one in there. What I'd like to do is focus on the biblical teaching of Sabbath, to get at this topic of pace. So we'll go through Sabbath, the Sabbath teaching, to the pace topic. And therefore, I want to read three scriptures this morning. The first two are part of the Ten Commandment listings, the first from Exodus, and then, as you may know, we get sort of a repeat in Deuteronomy of a lot of the material that's come before. So we get the Ten Commandments again in Deuteronomy. So I want to read the Sabbath commandment from each book, and then I want to add a gospel reading, because Jesus does something very interesting with this Sabbath teaching. So first, Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11, we read, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant, female servant, your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For means, now this is the basis of this command. In 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, and rested. He rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." So now, jumping to Deuteronomy, if you read in Deuteronomy, you'll see literal repetition of the first part of that Exodus reading, but then there's a little twist in verse 15. So the same commandments been given, but when we get to the four, the basis of the command, it's different. For you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Now, I'm going to say more about that difference later, but I'll just note it now. And then this just totally great scripture from Mark chapter 2. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain, construed by some observers as work. That those are my words, that's not in Mark, to clarify. And the Pharisees were saying to him, look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath, i.e. they're working? And Jesus said to them, have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry, he and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him. And Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. May God bless to our understanding these readings of his word. So again, the theme, the topic today, pace, the pace of our lives, all that we do, family, work, friends, personal time. But why do we care about pace? I want to just hit this very quickly. Why do we care? Is church the place for like a time management seminar, a productivity seminar, a relaxation seminar? Why are we talking about pace? Here's why we care, and I paraphrase now from the material, but this quote will stand alone. N.T. Wright, it's in the booklet, it's in the video. N.T. Wright, very well-known New Testament scholar, said this, we are hardwired to be connected, and we do damage to ourselves and others if we don't live life at the proper pace. Let me read that again. We are hardwired to be connected, and we do damage to ourselves and to others if we don't live life at the proper pace. In other words, fundamentally, this pace issue is really a relational issue or a relationship issue. Our relationship with God, our relationship with other people. We care about pace as Christians because we're called to care about one another and our relationship with God. The two greatest commandments that were referenced already today, love God and love neighbor. In other words, we're connected one to another. It's this whole faith journey, this life journey, not an individual sport. It's a team sport. We are in it with others. I'm not a big poetry guy. Probably one notch above, you know, the venerable roses are red, violets are blue variants. But a poem that I truly do love, and did not just dig it out for this sermon. I just love this poem. It's short. I'm going to read it for you by John Donne. No Man is an Island. It's a beautiful poem. Donne writes, no man is an island entire of itself. Every man is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. If a clod be washed away by the sea, Europe is the less, as well as if a promontory were, as well as any manner of thy friends or of thine own were. Any man's death diminishes me because I am involved with mankind. And therefore, never send to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee. Hemingway, of course, borrowed that last line for the title of his novel, but the entire poem makes this point. We are connected. We are connected one to another. And so again, back to the N.T. Wright quote, we care about pace because we care about connection. We're relational beings. All of which brings us to our Sabbath scriptures today, which I just feel these are an incredible treasure for us. And let me offer this framework for thinking about Sabbath and thinking about these Sabbath texts. The Sabbath teaching of the Bible offers us two extremely valuable things. They offer us a work ethic and a rest ethic. A work ethic and a rest ethic. And let me speak to both of those points in the remainder of my message. So first, the Sabbath teaching of the Bible gives us a work ethic. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. This whole pace topic might lead you to think that we're totally going to focus on, you know, slow down, relax, chill. You're all like way too stressed. You're too busy. Well, we'll get to that. That's in the rest ethic, right? But it starts with this work ethic, this work context and command that then is where we find the rest and Sabbath teaching. In the Exodus reading, God and creatures created in God's image work. We're active, we're engaged, we're contributing, we're creating stuff. And in the Exodus reading, this is patterned after God himself. God worked for 6 days, and then he rested. Now, if you're wondering, why does the Almighty God need to rest? Jeff will be available after the service out in Sanctuary Hall, and he can deal with that question. I want to focus on the pattern here, the model, the template. Work, then rest. Work ethic, then rest ethic. Now, super important point. Our work really varies with our life situation. So when I use the word work, don't just think, oh, that employment, remunerated employment, that's what he's talking about. No, it's really our calling, our gifting. Whether we're a stay-at-home parent, or we manage a group or a team, or we're in sales, or we're a doctor, a school teacher, retired, physically limited, a student, whatever. As folks created in God's image, remember, this is kind of the template thing going, we work. We are to be engaged. We are to contribute. We are to, I like to think of it as, we are to like do stuff. Like God did stuff. Have I mentioned that Kendi and I have moved down to Green Lake in Seattle? No, I'm making fun of myself there. I feel I've mentioned that every time I've preached, like the last three times I've been here. Anyway, one of the cool things about living down at Green Lake is basically we walk everywhere we go. I didn't walk here this morning. You know, Bellevue, if you go somewhere further, you drive. But for like day-to-day stuff, we walk. In fact, it struck me, I used to hear people say, yeah, when our kids are grown, we want to move to like more of an urban setting where we can just walk everywhere. Never made sense to me. You want to move somewhere where you have to walk, you know. Now I kind of get it. It's sort of cool to just be able to walk places. One of the places I walk to, I'm guessing 5 times a week, is my hot yoga class. Give me a second to explain this. So there's this really cool yoga studio nearby called Modo Yoga, hot yoga. And I have absolutely become a hot yoga maniac. I mean, I could probably do some poses and stuff, and you would just be saying, I can't believe that's Tyler doing that stuff. But I'm not going to do that. By the way, public service announcement, sidebar. If you are anywhere near my age, especially if you're a guy, and I'm sort of mostly pretty serious about this and a little bit being funny, but if you're near to me or you're a guy like over 30, want everybody to feel, a lot of you feel included there, you want to care about your mobility. I'm totally serious here. Hips, shoulders, back. You want to stay mobile. We sit a lot, right? And you know this. In fact, I had a hip issue about a year ago. I was working with a PT over at Klahani Shopping Center. Really good guy. Forget his name right now. But we were just talking. He said, you know, there actually is... there actually is a fountain of youth. This is what he said. He said this. There's a fountain of youth. It's called mobility. He said, I see lots of people, especially the men, and there are the guys who do what it takes to stay mobile, and there are the guys who don't. And you may not feel it right away, but in your 50s, 60s, 70s, there's a huge difference. So you get yourself mobilized, however you want to do it, yoga, whatever it is. But I just felt like I wanted to say that. Let's restart this sermon timer now, okay? Anyway, at my hot yoga class, I come out of the studio where it's super hot and you're all sweaty, and I sit down on this bench just to cool down a little bit. And directly across from me is a giant, I guess it's a print of the Buddha. Or as my friend from South Boston actually said once, the Buddha. There's the Buddha. And not to go too far afield here, but what has struck me, sitting there looking at the Buddha, his eyes are closed, and he has a very serene look on his face. And I think most of the pictures I've seen of the Buddha, it's similar. Eyes closed and very peaceful and serene. Here's what I want to suggest. I think that's the opposite of the way of Jesus and the life that Jesus and the scripture call us to. Jesus was engaged. Man, he was committed. He was all in. Think of the gospel stories. This happens repeatedly. And Jesus saw. His eyes were open. And Jesus looked. His eyes were open, committed, engaged, totally giving himself to others, involved. Ultimately, right, and your minds are already going here, what we look at in the painting or the picture isn't the smiling, serene, eyes-closed figure. We look at the cross. We look at Jesus saying, I am giving myself fully to the mission I've been called to. Now, I don't mean to just like slam Buddhism. I don't. I kind of am, but my intent is not that of a critic. I'm just drawing a contrast. The Christian ideal is not eyes closed serenity. What we see in Scripture is engagement, activity, doing stuff. 6 days, you shall work. and then you will rest on the seventh day. So that's the work ethic. I know we're now going to talk about the slowing down, the resting piece, but I just want us to see clearly that it's in the context of this wonderful work ethic of Scripture, this engagement ethic, make a difference ethic, be involved ethic, use your gifts ethic. 6 days, whatever your life situation is. And then the beautiful thing, but on the seventh day, we rest. We stop, like God did. But I can keep going. I'm like a 24/7 dude, full of energy. I am a working machine. God could have kept going too, but he stopped and he rested. So this is what I'm calling a rest ethic. It redemptively sort of brackets our work. It caps, it puts a governor, a limit on our work. We work, and then we stop working. When our work is done, no, on the seventh day. On that seventh day, we rest. We renew. We relate. We reconnect. Not in a legalistic manner, though there used to be, some of you may be familiar with this, used to be what are called Sabbath laws, like civil laws that, you know, you still see a little bit like, oh, that business is closed, it's Sunday. But that was much more pervasive, like, say, 100 years ago. But in a Jesus manner, I would say, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Building rest into your week, time for family, time for friends, time for God. This is not only a command of God, right? It's the Ten Commandments, but it's a blessing from God. It's a blessing. Man wasn't made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made to bless man. What if there's still more work to do? For some, you know, that's a conundrum. That's a challenge. But we have 6 days to focus on the work, and then we rest. We stop. And we appreciate the gift that our life and our circumstances is. And this is why I included that Deuteronomy rendering of the Sabbath command. The Exodus version focuses on creation. The Deuteronomy version is based more on redemption, as if God is saying, I'm telling you to rest in order to remember that I'm actually the one who brought you up out of Egypt. You were slaves down there. And I rescued you. Now take 1 day a week and think about that. Foreshadowing, of course, the whole Egypt deliverance rescue thing, an even greater deliverance that we as Christians would embrace. The redemption, the rescue that God has accomplished through Christ. We were slaves, Paul tells us. In fact, we were dead in our sins, and Christ died for us to redeem and to rescue. Now stop your work 1 day a week and think about that. And so I think we have some latitude here. Build rest and Sabbath into your week. Traditionally, for Christians, it's been Sunday. For Jews, it was Saturday. But whenever, however, build into your week time for, back to N.T. Wright, time for relationship. Relationship with God. Relationship with family, with neighbor, with friends. Don't allow yourself to be so busy, work, 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 that both relationship with God and relationship with family is harmed. That's what the Sabbath teaching is all about. That's what this pace thing is all about. Work and rest for the sake of relationship. Let me suggest one like super practical idea here that I think will apply to most of us in a bell curvy sort of way. Have times in your week, I mean, I'm glad you're sitting down for this because some of you just might absolutely freak out. Have times in your week when your phone is off. But won't I die? Nope, you won't die. I think there's no other device in the history of the cosmos that destroys Sabbath and rest as much as our cell phones. Because and I love my phone. They're so fun and great and practical. 6 days of the week, I will sing the praises of my iPhone. I love my iPhone. It is so amazing. It is so intrusive. It is so intrusive. I was going to tell a story kind of on candy, but for the sake of time, I won't do that right now. Let's just say this has been an issue in our life. So sometimes in your week, when the phone is off and put away, you won't die. You won't die. Jeff and I promise you this as ministers of the gospel. You can turn that phone off and you will not die. And it will be a huge blessing in your life, in your relationship with God and with others. So again, the biblical template, work and rest. Work, then rest. In the time frame of a week. Earl Palmer, former pastor at University Press, and you know, I think Earl's a familiar figure around here to many of you, but he would do a seminar for young pastors that I attended once back when I was young. And one of his teachings, one of his points that I've always remembered, Earl's the little shorthand was build a week that works. Build a week that works. Lots of wisdom there. Because there will be some days where the wheels are falling off. I mean, it's, you know, red lights flashing, submarine diving sound going, horn going. You are just swamped, hammered, harried, challenged. We'll have those days, but if we have built a week that works, we can then make it to our Sabbath rest and recover. I read that the British Special Forces, they have a thing called hard time. When they're on a super important mission, what hard time is it's like highly focused, like inserted behind enemy lines. Literally, the story was in the context of the first Gulf War. Inserted behind enemy lines, only travel at night, no talking, zero impact on the environment, super stealthy, super challenging. That was called a hard time. And then they would be off of hard time and just back to being soldiers, maybe even off duty. And there's that rhythm there, occasion specific, mission specific. We will have days, right? we will have days that are, in effect, hard time for us. We are on. We are focused. There's a ton to do. We will have those days, many of us, not all of us. You'll just feel overwhelmed. But like an oasis out on the horizon, if we've built a week that works, we have that Sabbath rest before us. So, in conclusion, and God bless Buddhists, but Buddha is not my ideal. Buddha is not my model. The Lord Jesus Christ is my ideal. He is my model. And I take my guidance from Scripture. And so my goal is not eyes closed serenity all the time, you know, detached from the material world. That's not a Christian point of view at all. The Christian point of view is 6 days a week, I am all in. I am committed. I am engaged. I am focused. I'm doing stuff. Whatever my life situation calls me to do. And then there's rest. Then there's Sabbath. God, family, friends, health. It's a pretty good template. It's a pretty good template. Let's pray. So, Lord, I pray for all of us in our varying life situations that you would, through your Holy Spirit, show us how to incorporate into our lives more fully the Sabbath teaching of Scripture. May the pace of our life reflect this teaching. May we have those periods where we work and we do good work and we're focused and committed. And may we have those periods where the phone is off and we are at rest. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.